This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly. On the Tee, Florida.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a brisket?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf. From the PGA and LPGA to the WNCA and LIV.
We're waiting.
And now.
Your Honor.
Let's tee off with two pros and a hack. PGA professionals John Rager and Bill Buttner, and your host Mike Rickard, along with the entertainment squad, a colorful cast of characters.
You want to make $14 the hard way?
Now, everyone back up. Here's Mike Rickard.
Number two on this March 7th, 2024. We're live from Feather Sound Country Club, and it's the... It's quite an event up here, as far as I'm concerned, that hopefully we see a lot of people at this Aramco series event, this LPGA event. It's a series, John, that I hope the people come up and see it the next 3 days. There's a lot going on in the area. We've got the St. Pete Grand Prix. You've got the Rays spring training. There's a lot going on, but if you love golf and if you're a young lady or a mother or a female golfer, this is the place to be.
Well, if you didn't catch it on the first hour, for our listeners that are just tuning in now, just want to tell everybody about the Aramco Team Series presented by the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia. And it's being held at Feather Sound Country Club, which is technically Clearwater, Florida. But since this is an international event on five different cities around the world, three different continents, what this is they use Tampa as the place to locate where you're at. But we're actually in Clearwater, Florida, at the beautiful Feather Sound Country Club, which has been remodeled. We're on the eve of the tournament. The next 3 days will be the unique team format. We'll talk about that a little bit. But you've got some incredible LPGA stars that are participating with the Aramco Team Series. The Aramco Team Series is the Ladies European Tour. So you have international media here from, you know, literally just about everywhere. So you got Florida native, former winner of the Aramco Team Series, Lexi Thompson. You got the world number 8 golfer on the LPGA Tour, Charlie Hall, and a 2-time major champion and Tampa native, Brittany Lithicum. And she's actually a St. Petersburg native. They use Tampa as what they're talking about. But also, you've got Solheim Cup stars here. You got Megan Cann and Carlotta Segunda. And there's a $1 million prize fund. So this is a fusion of women's golf internationally. This is the only place in North America, in Tampa here, at in Clearwater, Florida, actually, that is going to be played this team series. So, for example, they're here today, the next 3 days. And then they go to Korea in May. And then in July, they go to London. And then they're returning to Asia in October. And then they go to Riyadh in Saudi Arabia to end it up in October. So, you know, we're talking about a truly international tour. If you hashtag see the impact, they talk about their social, environmental, and economic impact that they have. And understand that we've got a guest coming up pretty soon here, Adam Woodward from Golf Week USA Today, to talk a little bit about the tour.
In fact, Adam is on hold right now. He's always kind enough to take some time out of his busy, busy schedule. How you doing, young man? We are live from Feather Sound Country Club, just north of St. Petersburg. We'll be seeing you in a few weeks at the Valspar and at Innsbruck. We're looking forward to that. And once again, I always appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. And of course, every one of these conversations is brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Sea Dogs Brewery, and of course, Shipyard Brewing, and then our good friends at Michelob Ultra. What's going on, young man?
Fellas, how we doing? Yeah, good to be back on. Appreciate you guys having me on, as always. It's always one of the more fun interview and radio hits that I get to do. So looking forward to it. Let's talk a little golf, shall we?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're sitting in a spectacular venue up here in Clearwater, Florida. We're on the 18th green, which will be what a perfect position to be on Sunday. But, you know, you've covered LIV. You've got a flavor for it. There's certainly a bit of that flavor in this event. And John has been doing LIV event, and Bill just left us, and he has as well. So you certainly have a bit of that flavor, don't you, John?
Well, we do, and we discovered earlier in the broadcast, Ward Clayton, who's part of the PR team for Performance 54, realized that it's the same company that produces the LIV golf tournaments, but you definitely have the same field. You have spectacular video boards everywhere. You have music on every tee. You got unbelievable hospitality. And you got an atmosphere here that's festive and looks like there's going to be a lot of young people this weekend. So that's the vibe I got from it, Adam. Have you ever been to a Ramco Team Series event yet?
I haven't actually been to one in person. I've seen some of them. I know, dropping through on TV, you know, around covering, you know, the tour and all that. But I admittedly haven't been to one, haven't really had the chance yet. We've got a great LPGA reporter, Beth Ann Nichols, who handles a lot of our women's coverage. So she's done a few of them. I didn't realize they had music on the holes as well, though. I don't know if I just didn't remember it from the broadcast, but I wasn't aware that that was a thing going for them as well.
Well, it is. It's a little bit more low key now. Was the pro am day of not the pro am tournament, but pro am day just for the amateurs in the area to be able to pair up and play with some of the lady professionals. So there was music on every tee, but I'm not sure if that's part of the tournament for tomorrow. We'll find out when we get out there tomorrow. But you know, one of the things I've noticed about this particular tournament and it's a fusion. There's LPGA. And there's the Ladies European Tour. It doesn't matter what tour you play on. They're all united under the Aramco and the PIF umbrella. So it's to me, it seems like there's no controversy here. This is like celebrating women's golf and another opportunity to grow the game worldwide.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. And just, I mean, I was just looking through earlier at the, because I know it'd be coming on here, looking at some of the players that are out there. I mean, you get some of the big hitters and big stars from the Solheim Cup with Lexi Thompson, Megan King, Carlota Segonda, who, you know, secured it for Team Europe. I was there watching that. That was just one of the craziest matches and one of the craziest weekends of golf I've ever seen. But they have a lot of, you know, young rising stars as well. So when I started with Golf Week in 2019, I covered our college and AMs, and, you know, people I loved watching are in the field this week. Annabelle Fuller from down there in Florida by all, Aline Crowder from Stanford, Emma Spitz, UCLA. Those were some really great players who are getting their early on in their professional career started. So I would say, obviously, you want to go out and see the big names, but I'd give those three a look as well, anybody who's listening and is going to go out and watch this weekend. But it's interesting what you said about, you know, being, you know, united and not so much of a divide. Whenever the Aramco stuff has come up, a few of the LPGA players were pretty outspoken about, and a lot of them were the LPGA veterans, similar to what happened with the PGA Tour when guys started going to Liv. But there wasn't as much blowback with the women's game going to a, you know, public investment funded tournament like that. I thought that was kind of interesting, but one thing's been clear is that a lot of these players don't really have any issues or reservations with going and playing in one of these Aramco events like a lot of the men did when it came to the PIF funding Liv. That's definitely an interesting component there between the two.
Hey, you know, one of the guests we have coming on after you is Clemmy Perry. She's the founder, and this is her 10th anniversary of Women of Color Golf. And they were actually voted, I don't know if it was 2021 or 2022, as the PGA Tour's like number one charity, you know, rated charity. And myself and a few others connected with the radio show, we're part of the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. And Hal McRae, the famous baseball player, remember him from the past.
He went, remember. Adam is 30 years old.
Well, you know, but still, you know, you might know who Hal McRae is. You may not, but he's a Hall of Fame baseball player. Well, his granddaughter, Wesley Houston, is playing. She played in today's event. She played in the Pro-Am today, representing Women of Color Golf. And it's his granddaughter. And she had 5 birdies today. And so with the Women of Color Golf, also on Sunday, there's a golf team, local golf team here. You know, it's minority-based, Middleton High School. They're going to give every member of that golf team a free set of golf clubs Sunday here. So it seems like they're really reaching out to the community.
That is so cool.
Impact things.
Well, and look at the purse money that is involved as well, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I love the, you know, how they're giving back, and you know, the one thing I hate in golf more than anything is when the phrase "grow the game" gets thrown around, because so many times.
Okay, I apologize.
So
I'm sorry, Mike.
No, you're fine.
That he's having for dinner. I got wet noodles all over me right now.
Hold on, I'm going somewhere with this. I hate when it gets overused, but in times like this. When it's actually accurate and it actually is giving back to the grassroots program, and it's not just putting hundreds of millions of dollars in professionals who are already rich's bank account, you know, that's what I love. That's when we're allowed to use the phrase "grow the game." So I'm not gonna give you any stick for that one. But I think that's what's the most important thing when we actually do talk about giving back and giving back to charities and stuff is getting these grassroots campaigns started. You know, just the littlest amount of money or time that you can give to them goes such a long way. And if we can just get more people playing the game that we all love, we're all going to be better for it. And we get so caught up in what's happening in the professional game. You know, who's making this, who's making that, who's playing where, and who said what about who, this divide. We forget that 98% of golfers are amateur players who go out and play for fun and play the game because they love it. And I think that that's one thing that gets lost, and it's been lost over the last 2 years. Professional golf might be a dumpster fire on the men's side, and it could get to that way on the women's side if a women's pro golf league comes around to compete with the LPGA. I just think it's so important that we give back to the amateur game. So I love when programs like that are happening, and these people with hundreds of millions of dollars are actually giving it to the people who need it most, and not just funding, you know, professionals already.
Well, so Adam, in the spirit of the Pope and the Catholic Church, we do a lot of pontification here at On the Tee Florida Golf. So we have anointed you as the commissioner of growth of the game. Add that to your three putt bio on Twitter.
I accept. Yeah, avid three putter and commissioner of growth. What would you say? What was my official title?
Commissioner of growth of the game.
All right, I'll take it. I will happily take it. I will wear it like a badge of honor. And if I start doing bad, I'll just go and take a couple months off and then be quiet and not say anything. If I get in your bad time,
we'll send you the personalized swag that identifies that for you. Hey, let's switch gears now and let's go a little further east here on I-4, of course, over to Orlando, and that's the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Bill Buttner, our other pro, was there yesterday. John Rager will be there tomorrow. As you look at, they wound things up today, and you look at that leaderboard, your day one analysis.
Shane Lowry played his absolute tail off today. The man made, I think, three or four threes in a row, which is very, very tough to do. Yeah, four. Three birdies and an eagle. Followed it with a bogey in classic Adam Woodard style like I would. But, he played so great today. If you got to see any of his round, he chipped in. He was rolling it well. Everything in his game was clicking. But I got to give a shout-out to my fellow Ohioan from Northeast Ohio, Justin Lauer, 5-under in second. Seeing him up at the top of the leaderboard is just great for me. I'm just my personal Ohio bias. It's also great to see Hideki Matsuyama playing again. I feel like he's a player that's been forgotten about over the last few years after his Masters triumph. Had some injuries, had some struggles with the swing, but to see him playing again is great for the game. But it's another
Adam, on Hideki, how about the chili dip double chip shot that he had, and then I think he got a bogey, but then he holed out on the next hole with his chip.
Yeah, as someone who often chili dips and fluffs chips and stuff like that, I felt one with Hideki for the first time, and then he chipped in and quickly reminded us all that he's a professional and we're all amateurs. So I thought that was pretty fun to see. But yeah, it's just so great to see Hideki back in action. But I just got to say this, though. It's another one of these signature events, guys, where we're seeing not the biggest names up top. Shane Lowry is a popular player, and I think a lot of people know him, but you wouldn't expect him to be necessarily at the top of one of these leaderboards so early on. Hideki might be, but Justin Lauer, Russell Henley, Lee Hodges, Luke Litt, guys like these, you know, not normally guys you wouldn't expect to see in these signature events, but they're taking advantage of their opportunities, and it's great to see. Also, got to give a shout-out to Will Zalatoris. It's great to see him playing well again after his struggles and injuries and stuff that he's gone through. He could be primed here for another win here shortly.
Well, you're right about some of the young players coming up. If you're an avid golfer and you follow the PGA Tour, yeah, you like to hear these stories. But it is interesting that the signature event now has all the stars, and that was what they were trying to bank on. I was looking at Justin Lower. Now, Justin Lower made his mark this year. Not necessarily, you know, he had a decent finish at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, but he hit the lowest golf shot into the 16th, the famous 16th hole there at the Waste Management Open, where you got 20,000 people surrounding the thing.
Hit a screamer?
His notable thing this year, it just stuck out to me, that he hit the lowest, according to TrackMan, he hit the lowest trajectory golf shot into the 16th green at the Waste Management Open, thus his name, Justin Lower.
Yeah, if he was trying to hit a stinger on that hole in front of all those people, shouts out to him. But if that was me, I probably would have just scolded, and it would have been flight even lower. I couldn't imagine hitting a golf shot in front of 20,000 people like that.
Hey, let's talk about Rory McIlroy. What took place today? Did you get any analysis of his round? The last that we saw, he was two over.
I finished at one over 73. really struggled, you know, on his, you know, on his front nine closing out. He had 3 bogeys over his last 4 or 5 holes, if I'm not mistaken. Righted the ship a little bit down the stretch in the back nine. I think he had a birdie on 16 or 17. Another one of these rounds where you're kind of curious about what happened and you're not really sure what went wrong. He's a guy that you would think would play well at a course like this. Rory's been pretty interesting this year. He's played way more than he normally would, and it really seems like he's just trying to gear up and get as many reps in, you know, before Augusta and the Masters as possible. I thought a lot of what he said. I don't know if any of you guys have gotten to watch Full Swing yet on Netflix, but he was pretty heavily featured this year and talked about, you know, how much of the struggles were in the majors last year and how, you know, every single major they seemed to get him in the locker room, you know, saying, you know, God, I got to get one of these eventually. It just seems like he's grinding so hard so early in the season. So I'm not really sure what to make of Rory, but I don't know if you guys did see this or not. He did tell ESPN that he is not going to live and he doesn't have any interest. So kind of shot down any intrigue he might have given after that questionable answer he gave last week down to Cognizant.
Hey, Adam, for our listeners out there, you know, we all know that you're Golf Week USA Today, and you had a very interesting article that just came out on March 7th on the Full Swing producer at Netflix, which just came out last night as far as the next edition of the Full Swing series, I guess. I don't know if you call it docuseries.
Docuseries is the new term, right?
I'm looking at this article. It said Full Swing producer starts new golf media venture, Pro Shop, with $20 million in fund with the PGA Tour support. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, that was one of the more interesting things to come up today. You know, Chad Mumm, who is the executive producer of Full Swing, has $20 million. Him and alongside somebody else from Puck. I don't remember his name, but he's the former CEO of Puck. They secured $20 million from a group of financiers, and what they're going to do is create this new venture called the Pro Shop. They're going to have offices in L.A., New York, and down in Ponte Vedra at the new PGA Tour headquarters. They're building some new studios there. And so this new, you know, media venture is basically going to be the preferred partner for the PGA Tour for a lot of their video assets and for a lot of the things that they're going to do. They're going to try and create some new series. They're going to try and keep building on the success of Full Swing. So the plan is they're going to have a bunch of archival footage that they're going to get from the tour. The tour is going to support them and also allow them to be filming at events. It's pretty clear. I don't know for anybody who's ever, you know, been to an event or any media that has, the tour is very, very strict about their media rights. And, you know, once the official rounds start, you can't really be posting any video. It's all got to come from the TV provider. So this is a big step forward for the tour to be able to kind of branch out and try and reach out to a newer, younger audience. As part of this deal with this new company called Pro Shop, is also going to acquire Scratch, which is the popular online and digital media brand that the tour created to post a lot of their funny videos and some more, you know, user-friendly content, I would say, or youth user-friendly content. So it's going to be interesting to see what they actually do with it. But, yeah, $20 million and having the tour's backing for you, you should be able to create some pretty cool content. So very curious to see, when that's going to get started and what it's going to look like.
So, Adam, shifting gears here, because golf is international, it's worldwide. We're at an international event right now here mm-hmm. with the Aramco Team Series here broadcasting for Featherstone Country Club in Clearwater. But also, you had an article posted today talking about the 6,700-yard Hong Kong Golf Club where Live Golf is playing. 6,700 yards, well, that's about the distance that the ladies are able to play this weekend.
That's exactly what it is.
So what do you think is going to happen out there with Live Golf? You're going to see another 59 or something?
It was curious, you know, seeing, if you know, thank you for shouting out the content, boys. I appreciate it. It was curious seeing what those guys had to say, and even a lot of the long hitters, you know, like DJ and, you know, Phil Mickelson, who can still get it out there a little bit, John Rahm. They all said, you know, you're still going to be able to hit driver. It's just a matter of you can hit it accurately. It's pretty tight, pretty narrow. So if guys can hit it long and straight off the tee, they're going to have a lot of flip wedges into green. But the curious thing about about Hong Kong Golf Club over there, it's been the host of the Hong Kong Open on the Asian Tour going back to like the 1950s, if I'm not mistaken. The green complexes are very small and they're very tight and they're tricky. They got a lot of, you know, cheeky little undulations. Phil was talking about that earlier. You know, he got a pretty good look at the course. So it's going to be interesting. I don't think it's going to be, you know, it's not going to produce as many low scores as we'll think, just because those green complexes can be a little tricky. And then if your drives get offline, you're going to be in trouble. But it's definitely unique to see the pros play a course that short. You know, the shortest course on the PGA Tour is TPC River Highlands, where they have the Travelers Championship up in Connecticut. That's at about 6,800. And then Valderrama over in Spain, where they have Live Golf Andalusia, and then used to obviously be the host of a DP World Tour event as well. That's at about 6,900 yards. So similar to these places, but those courses certainly don't have the green complexes that Hong Kong does. So be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, they have here at the Media Center, they have a great dinner here at the Ramco Team Series, and we just cracked open our fortune cookies, and I just pulled mine out. It says, he who hits the fairways and greens wins the tournament. So looks like that's going to be the
brilliant analysis. Yeah, he's my number one pro. That's his analysis. Hey, I do want some analysis from you. We had this conversation a little earlier, and I don't remember who it was on the Golf Channel this week. We're talking about, you know, the impact of LIV and the heavy hitters that have made the move, and the start of this PGA season with a lot of the 100-to-1 odds. If you're a periphery fan, you know, the no names. We've talked about this every week, but it continues to take place. Even this leaderboard right now, you look at, and as I said, I can't remember which one of the personalities talking heads, but they did say that one of the things that's missing, and it's in every sport. All the villains are gone, you know, the Patrick Reeds, the Brooks Koepkas, the Bryson DeChambeau, even you know, Lefty in his time. John Rahm was never looked upon like that, but he certainly is now. But the bottom line is they're right. You know, there's no characters. And then you talked about this rollout, this multimedia and social media, because a lot of these young guys don't appear to have, you know, that eccentric personality. That people can't stand. Well, now it's all on social media, and that's how you get an inside look at them. As John said earlier, you know, a lot of it's sterile. Do you think it'll continue like that, or do you think it might even start getting to the point of maybe there is a little, sensationalism and a little more personality to these productions? Because otherwise, it's pretty damn boring.
It is, yeah, and it's a great point to make. You know, I go back to one of the things that Phil said in an interview with me about it over a little bit over a year ago. I was talking to him about, you know, how different, you know, the Live Golf field looked, you know, from the first tournament compared to now. And the one thing he said that stood out is we've got some of the best characters in the game. He didn't say best players the first time around. He said we've got some of the best characters. And he's right. Like you said, you know, whether you love or hate Patrick Reed, he's a walking storyline because, frankly, you never know what he's going to do. You never know what he's going to say, and you never know who he's going to throw a lawsuit to. I can speak to that with a lot of knowledge, considering he's.
Hey, you know, Adam, I was looking at Paul Azinger's quote this past week, and he was talking about, I don't want to paraphrase it, but talking about how the PGA Tour has become a feeder tour for the LIV golf. And my concern is, Adam, and this might be, you may have already written an article about it, but if you haven't, my concern is, how's this going to affect the majors going down the road when people know that, well, maybe, you know, not even today, but, you know, a couple of years from now, if they continue on this track and nobody gets the World Golf ranking points, and every time somebody joins Live Golf, you know, they just keep dropping out and they don't even play the majors. How's that going to affect the major golf championships? I'm concerned as a PGA of America member with the PGA Championship, but all the other majors have to be a little concerned about, especially the Ryder Cup, you know, and the President's Cup. You know, how's this going to affect that going down the road?
It's definitely going to play a huge impact, and also, you know, for the Olympics. You know, the Olympics use the OWGR to fill out their fields as well, so that's another one you got to add in there. You know, we're coming up on Paris this summer. But the majors are going to have to either continue inviting players who try to earn their place, or they're going to have to come up with some sort of exemption criteria. I think it's the only way to get some of these guys back in the field, because guys like DJ, guys like Patrick Reed, John Rahm, he's still going to be in the Masters forever. But in a few years, they're going to run out of their exemptions that they have from their past major wins. And like you said, Liv pulled their world ranking application earlier this week. They're going to have to do something, whether it's a major exemption criteria or they send invites. But we also have to remember that these guys knew what they were doing when they signed over to Liv. They knew they were going to give up on these spots, and two of the majors are open. you can go qualify. The one thing that really, really ticked me off last year was Taylor Gooch. You know, he did get screwed by the USGA. I think, you know, there's no way around that. They changed their exemption criteria to keep him out. No way around that. But instead of going and proving and shoving it to him and trying to go qualify, he instead just tucked tail and went back and complained. And that just bothers me so much. So I do have some sympathy for a lot of the guys. You know, I think anybody would say Joaquin Niemann is a top 10 player in the world right now. There's no doubt about that. But these guys knew what they were doing, right? Decisions have consequences. And it's a real tough thing to say, but, dude, that's what the money's for. So I have a little bit of sympathy for that. The majors might have to do something, but these guys can also go qualify for them too, like everybody else has to that doesn't have an exemption. So
we're running out of time. I got one more question for you to get you out of here on this. Okay, I just saw where the RNA said the Open Championship is going to now limit their past champions to 55 years old and they're done. Mm-hmm. What all of a sudden, you know, Tom Watson at age 59, just a few months
he was
before
in the hunt.
60, he should have won that tournament. You know, he got a bad bounce on the last hole. And even though that we all love Stewart Cink became the villain of golf for beating Tom Watson in the Open Championship. What's your take on this? I mean, why all of a sudden, why 55? 55.
That's age discrimination.
I tell you what, you know, 55 is pretty young in these days
I'd take her back, wouldn't you, John?
And especially the Open Championship. What's your take on that? Why did they do that?
I don't, to be honest, I really don't know. That one kind of caught me off guard when that came out yesterday, too, if I'm being honest. I can understand them wanting to maybe tighten the field a little bit and open up the, I mean, if they're cutting it down, you know, they cut it down to 55. The good thing is that the people who are over 55 are grandfathered in until they're 60 now. So, you know, you love that for those guys. But I just think that they're trying to get a bit of a younger field. What they're also doing is they're inviting the top five players from the Federation point list. From the OWGR, so a lot of the guys that are on the Asian Tour, the Sunshine Tour, I'm blanking on the other ones, to be honest, but it's going to create a little bit more of an international field, and it's going to invite some younger players in. Like one of those guys would be Andy Oglesby, who plays for LIV right now. When this goes through, he's going to get an invite because of how he played on the Asian Tour last year and how he got onto LIV Golf through his performances in their international series, winning their Order of Merit. So it's going to give a lot more younger guys a chance, but it's also kind of going to, you know, stick it to some of the older guys who have won. So I kind of think that's a bit of a bummer. Like you said, and like, I don't know, I can't remember who said it just now, but it's a great point that 55 in a few years isn't 55 like it was 20 or 30 years ago. Like, guys are going to be able to play longer with all everything that we know about health and fitness and everything. You know, 55 isn't going to be as old going forward here. So bit of a shocker, but also, you know, Tom Watson was also an outlier. So we haven't really seen anybody do that since either. So I get it, but it's also kind of a bummer because you do want to see some of those classic guys still tee it up and playing majors.
He's Adam Woodward, of course, Golf Week Magazine. He's always kind enough to take time out for us here on Tee Florida. And we'll be seeing you at the Valspar. That's still a done deal, my friend?
I believe so.
All right. Looking forward to seeing you then. Have a great weekend. How about your Cavs the other night real quick against the Celts? Nice win, huh?
How about my Cavs? I'm doing it without Donovan Mitchell, too. Things are coming up in Cleveland, boys. I'm just saying. Things are starting to turn around.
All right, my man. Have a great evening. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care, boys. Enjoy the tournament.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back, and we'll talk to Clemmie Perry. She is the president of Women of Color. We're at Feather Sound Country Club, of course, and tomorrow is International Women's Day up here, and we'll talk about that when we return. We'll be back here on the Tee Florida, live from Feather Sound Country Club.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Lexi Thompson headlines a star-studded field as the Aramco Team Series presented by PIF comes to town. Feathersound Country Club plays host to golf's most innovative format this March 8th through 10th as the Ladies European Tour makes the trip across the pond. As Megan Kang and two-time major winner Brittany Lincecum add to the American star power, Europeans Carlotta Cingotta and Charlie Hull aim to spoil the party. Secure your place now at AramcoTeamSeriesUSA.TIXR.com.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game-watching events, concerts, and, of course, all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action, along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season. The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th hole studios at Berg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back on the tee, Florida. We are live, of course, from Feather Sound Country Club up here in St. Petersburg, Florida, in Clearwater, Florida, and at the Aramco Team Series presented by PIF Florida at Feather Sound Country Club, and it promises to be a spectacular 3 days up here. I'm Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation. Bill Butner, he headed to Eckerd College for the day, my other pro, but John Rager in the house holding down the fort as always. Great conversation with Adam Woodard, and of course, great conversation in the first hour with John Renaud. Of course, he is the director of golf operations up here at Feather Sound, and really cool. It kind of reminds me when we were at Pelican as the sun setting, John, and we're overlooking the 18th hole up here. Just a spectacular, nice breeze this evening. But a young lady that'll be here tomorrow and probably most of the weekend is our own. We're claiming her because she's so important.
We definitely are.
Our own Clemmie Perry.
We will claim Clemmie Perry. I want to give our listeners a quick introduction to Clemmie. Clemmie is the founder of Women of Color Golf, 10th anniversary this year. She is a mover and shaker and in the golf industry. And if you go to their website and you learn a little bit more about them, they were the PGA Tour's number one charity 1 year. I'm not sure which year it was, but Clemmie can tell us about that. But with this tournament, she's an integral part of it with the Aramco Team Series, which is an international event. And if our listeners are just now catching us, they play five tournaments on three continents all over the world. They play in Asia. They play in London. They're playing right here. They call it Tampa, but it's actually we're in Clearwater, Florida. And one of the special things they do is that there's a famous baseball player named Hal McRae, who is a member of the Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and he may be a member of the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm not sure about that, but
I know I've met his son, Junior, several times in Kansas City. He's a great young man as well.
But his granddaughter, Wesley Houston, played in this tournament, and she played in the Pro-Am, had five birdies today, but then on...
Not bad genetics, huh?
Oh, that is fantastic. Sunday... Now, and I know there's a backstory to this, and I don't want to get it wrong, and we'll let Clemmie tell this story about Middleton High School, but the tournament's going to award the Middleton High School girls golf team a brand new set of golf clubs on Sunday. So, you know what? We're going to turn this over to Clemmie, let her talk about. She just sent a beautiful press release out about this, but we're thrilled to be here as part of the International Aramco Team Series with the LPGA stars, the Lady European Tour stars. And, Clemmie, welcome to On the Tee Florida Golf. Tell us about what you're doing this weekend and what's going on.
Hey, Clemmie, real quick, I got to say something. If you are looking for a publicist, I think he just got done doing your introduction. I don't think anybody does
it. John is my all-time favorite person. I've known John for years, being a
board member of the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. So John and I go way back. And John, you and I just met this morning when I was over at the Ramco Team Series. You have a beautiful course over there at Featherstown. And thank you all for having me. And we're just beyond thrilled to be at Featherstown this weekend, a part of the Aramco Team Series. We have been a part of Aramco Team Series, actually, since they very first started the tour 4 years ago. And we've just had a great partnership with them, with our Girls on the Green Tea Initiative. And so we are beyond excited that they are here in Tampa and at Featherstown. And like John said, on Sunday, we will be actually bringing Middleton High School girls golf team to the course. They will be hosting a women's golf clinic for their relatively newly formed girls golf team. It's only 5 girls, so they only had 1 girl about 3 years ago. So we've been steadily growing that high school girls golf team. So they're still relatively, getting their foot wet in the sport, but they're loving the game. And so they're coming over with their coach, Sonny Boyd. And they'll get a clinic.
Before you go any further, tell us why Middleton High School. Tell us about why Middleton High School and Women of Color Golf.
Well, what we do is we help support minority women and girls in the game of golf. And John and I know John's been a big advocate for women and girls, and particularly minorities. And there's about 24 million people that play, 4 million minorities, and less than 1% is a woman of color. And so Middleton fits into, that category. There's not many women and girls that play. And, Middleton is our hometown school. So we definitely want to just bring them on board as one of our partnering schools that we help to mentor here in Florida.
So Clemmy, why don't you talk a little bit about a little bit more about minority golf and the percentage of minority girls that are involved with the growth of the game. I mean, golf is growing exponentially, especially in the women's side of things, but not so much in the minority side of things. And we'd like you to let our listeners know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the game is definitely growing, particularly in junior golf and particularly in women and girls golf. And although we're seeing those numbers increase, but particularly still in the space where there's minority women, we're still representing, less than 1% in that space. And I know John and I have conversations about that all the time. And so what our organization does is we try to just go out. We do a lot of mentoring. We do a lot of different clinics. But we partner with LPGA professionals, PGA professionals, to help bring more minority women and girls into the game. Dr. Renee Powell, who sits on our advisory board, Troy Mullins, World Long Drive champion. So we engage some of the most powerful women of color in the game to help, create that impact, create that movement, to let them know that, golf is a great sport, it's an inclusive sport, and we want to get them engaged. But the numbers are still, less than 1%, and it's just going to benefit them so, if they get involved in this just wonderful game.
Clemmy, I think I discussed this the first time I met you. I put a lot of focus and energy on a couple other productions that are reaching out to the greater Tampa, St. Pete high schools in the area, and we've done a great job with our partners at Coca-Cola Body Armor. But I have a thought, and I know you've got some emotional equity, obviously, with Middleton, and I've talked to their basketball coaches. But I would like to have you lead the charge for me. I would like to get that young group of young high school golfers. I haven't had a high school team down yet. For we try to cover all sports. But I have brought kids over from Sickles. I brought kids over from King. I brought kids over that haven't even been across the bay, believe it or not, before.
I believe it.
And I would love to get that young group of girls on our Saturday show. Okay. Come on down to one of our high school shows. So why don't we
set
that as a goal to get that done?
Oh, they'd absolutely love it. They're so thrilled about coming to Featherstown on Saturday, we can hardly contain them. So I'd be happy to support you in that effort. So, let us get through the tournament this weekend, and we'll work something out with their coach.
Sounds great, dear.
Hey, Clemmy, I know this is not part of the tournament conversation, but it kind of is. Jan Baljan, one of the leading female architects, and has a connection to Aramco and Saudi Arabia and your organization. And I know this is something we'd like to have our listeners learn something a little bit more about. There's something really, really unique coming up that you're going to be promoting. I've never heard of this, and if I was a little bit younger and I wanted to do something in the golf industry, I would sign up for this in a heartbeat. Tell us a little bit about what you got going on with her.
Okay, sure. So Jan Baljan is one of 12 women in the world that is a golf course architect, and she's working with myself and John Rigger and the NFL alumni. What they're offering as part of the American Society of Golf Course Architects is they're putting together a course called Secrets of Golf Course Design. And about 8 architects are going to be designing a 4-day course up at Erin Hills, where a young student, we're going to try to raise the funds to put a young student through this course for a week. It's only going to be about 16 participants that will be allowed to be in this very one-of-a-kind, unique, 5-star experience. They'll get to stay at the lodging. And they're actually going to learn how to design a golf course. They're going to design actually one hole adjacent to the championship course up there at Erin Hills. And so we are raising the funds now to hopefully select one student to participate in that course in September. So we're beyond thrilled. So if there are any sponsors that are willing to get on board with us to help raise the funds for that, and a portion of those funds will help to go to support various organizations in the golf industry. One will be Clearview Golf Course, and then some other organizations as well. But it is a partnership with the American Society of Golf Course Architects, and it's called Secrets of Golf Course Design, where a young student will begin to learn how to become a golf course architect. So it's never been done before, and it's the first one ever, and we're just thrilled about it.
You know, Clemmy, I've had the opportunity to participate in the building of 6 golf courses. Now, my role was not as a golf course architect. It was more like a project manager, where you had to bring all the disciplines in: golf course designers, golf course construction company, clubhouse construction company, real estate developer,
subcontractor,
marketing, all the different stuff that has to come together. But the most important part about this is the golf course designer, because they make or break what the lot premiums are going to be. They make or break if the clubhouse is going to work. You know, if you want Mr. and Mrs. Jones want to sit out there and have dinner and if the sun's blaring in their eyes, it's just not going to work, okay? So, but it's just, so it's really interesting that you're doing this. And, you know, where can people find out a little bit more about this program online? I mean, where do they go?
Right. Sure. You want to go to the American Society of Golf Course Architects website, and you want to look under that particular ASGCA website, and it's Secrets of Golf Course Design, and it's under there, and you can register.
Well, Clemmy, you've got a very busy weekend. You've got your finger on the pulse of anything that has to do with the growth of the women's game. And as we said the last time we had you on, you couldn't be more ecstatic, could you, when you look at what's happening at the Pelican with the Annika, as we said earlier in the show. Here we are now over at Feather Sound, all within, you know, miles of each other, having such a international world impact on the women's game and the young ladies that are so fortunate to live in this area, to have access to opportunities that you deliver. And you know, people like Chichi Rodriguez over there, James Poulter, his gang, they do the same thing with the young people. It's just superb.
Yeah, I am just so excited with what is happening in the world of golf and with Aramco, and what I saw over today at Feather Sound. It is going to be a fantastic weekend, and for anyone that wants to come out with their family, they should, you know, go to the website, get a ticket, and just come out and see the future of golf for women and girls.
Okay, Clemmy, here's your challenge. Okay, I will give
You're blindsiding her?
I'm going to give you free golf lessons if
won't give them to me.
If you decide to play, I don't know if they're coming back here next year or not. We don't see that in any of the media releases. But you need to play in an event like this in the pro-am portion, everything. If you commit to that, we'll give you free golf lessons. If you don't, then you're just going to have to pay like everybody
SOL.
Else.
I'm going to start getting ready. That was my goal when I was sitting there today. Next year, I'm going to be ready.
Atta girl, and everybody that knows that when you put your mind to something, it's going to happen.
Oh, you better get out my way.
Get out of her way, and we'll have to get Rager in shape just to keep up to you, giving you lessons. That would be a great tandem, and we'll follow that progress all the way through, John.
Hey, I'm just proud to be here. So, Clemmie, thank you for being on the Tee Florida Golf. For our listeners out there, if you go to ontheteefloridagolf.com, we'll go ahead and we archive these interviews, and you can share it with everybody. We share it on RadioSt.Pete.com. But this is an interview worth listening to, and we're looking forward to this weekend with you, Clemmie, and all the great things you're going to do with the Aramco Team Series.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Hey, on a quick side note, the last time we had a conversation with you, several young ladies and maybe a little older said they listened to their show. They couldn't believe that I had the ability to get someone as talented, articulate, and intelligent on my show as you. And I said, do not disparage the reputation of my friend John Rager. He handled that, not me. But, that was kind of a comical comment on our last conversation.
Well, you gentlemen are doing a fine job, and I'm happy to support you in any way that I can.
All right. Look forward to seeing you soon. She's Clemmie Perry.
Thank you.
I forgot to tell you that story, John. Yeah. A couple of women that probably listening right now said, what a wonderful interview. How did you ever get someone like that on your show? I'm like, are you kidding me? Give me a little respect, right? Give me a little Aretha Franklin, a little R-E-S-P-E-C-T. What are you looking at over there, pal?
Well, you know what? We're running. It's 6:52, so
give the weather. Look at that spectacular sunset. I feel like Paul Delgado on 13.
Well, it's time for Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report, brought to you by Yank and Crank, extreme fishing fashion, what golfers wear when they are fishing. So we're down here in Clearwater, Florida, at the Aramco Team Series. Now, it's Clearwater, but we know we're the greater Tampa Bay area, right? Everybody internationally, right? It feels like 73 degrees, and I can tell because, Mike, you're sitting over there shivering right now. Humidity 78%. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. There's like no rain in the forecast. It's going to be a great day of golf weather here at the Aramco Team Series at Feather Sound. You can come buy a ticket. All you have to do is go to the website, go Google Aramco Team Series, and you'll be able to buy a ticket. And tomorrow,
if you're a young lady or
tomorrow,
a lady,
ladies are free. That's right.
FREE all day.
Women's Day. That's right. So anyway, there you have it. Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report brought to you by Yank and Crank. Go to Yank and Crank. myshopify.com, and please buy a hat.
You always close with, please buy a hat. I did buy a hat here, what it was in one of Wild Bill's. Okay, so tomorrow you're tonight you're staying in the Babe Ruth suite down at their Crystal Bay, which is the official hotelier of On the Tee Florida, right there at Central and Park Street in St. Petersburg. And then you're jumping on I-4 and heading over to Orlando. What are you looking forward to doing tomorrow when you get over there? Because I know you have a lot of history there, and knew Arnold Palmer, for the most part.
Well, here's what's happening here. So we have a duality. You know, we're here at the Aramco Team Series, and tomorrow I'll be at the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Duality.
That's right. So not a dichotomy, but a duality.
Gotcha.
All right. So the John Rager Golf Report's on the Tee Florida. And not only will you find a weekly report about golf, travel, and lifestyle, you can now listen to the archives on RadioSt.Pete.com, FloridaSportsStreams.com, YouTube, and on the Mic'd Up Social. So if you follow the John Rager Report on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and X, and Threads, if you visit both websites, JohnRagerGolf.com and OnTheTeeFloridaGolf.com, you'll find the latest news and updates from the world of golf. And you know what? This whole broadcast tonight has been a John Rager Golf Report. because it's been so wonderful to learn a lot about the Aramco Team Series, getting ready for the Arnold Palmer Invitational, having Clemmie Perry on tonight with the Women of Color Golf. But Adam Woodward, Golf Week USA Today, the next young rising star.
My man.
The world of golf media.
I love that cat, and he's very kind to us. As Ward Clayton been taking care of us up here at Feather Sound, no other place has delivered us Arnold Palmer's homemade cookies that I've devoured. No, you know who was the worst? Bill Buttner. The minute that cookie went down, he's in the middle of a conversation on the air, and he grabs the double decker and starts wolfing it down.
Well, you know, I'm conflicted because I have an unopened box of the 1991 PJ Tour card selection set. Now, I know Bill went around when he played on the tour. That was one of the years he played on the tour. You got everybody to sign the card, including
Frank
Norman, who thought he was a cart guy, not a PJ Tour player.
That's a great story.
Right? And so I'm kind of conflicted. Should I donate that to Bill, or should I sell that unopened box?
Hold on to it. Let's see how the relationship goes. Hey, we only got about 4 minutes. We got to talk a little Arnold Palmer. Looking back at his impact on the game of golf, and I was listening to one of the talking heads again today or yesterday, and, you know, we all watch the Golf Channel. I mean, we know the enormous impact he had on the financial capabilities of the young golfers up and coming. That's well chronicled. But people don't stop and take the time to look at you're watching the Golf Channel. If not for Arnold Palmer, the Golf Channel would not have gotten off the ground. If you take a look at the Champions Tour, without Arnold Palmer's blessing, I don't know if the Senior Tour would have survived and other players followed suit. Those are just two things that I think people forget about. They know everything else. They know the great stories. I was blessed to meet him on three occasions. You knew him, you know, conversationally. But every time he remembered me.
Well, let me tell you a quick Arnold Palmer story. We only have a couple of minutes left. But my dad, who played 12 years in the NFL, all-pro linebacker, Pittsburgh Steelers, and Arnold Palmer were rookies at the same time. Well, the PGA had a rule that when you first played on the PGA Tour, it wasn't the PGA Tour in those days. The PGA of America operated it. They kept your earnings for 6 months.
What?
So my dad and Arnold Palmer toured Western Pennsylvania in their off time, and they would pick up like $25, $50 at a sports banquet in Western Pennsylvania to pay the bills. Okay? And Arnold couldn't collect his – Mr. Palmer, we respectfully call him Mr. Palmer, couldn't collect his winnings until after 6 months.
Unbelievable.
And my dad is a rookie linebacker in the NFL in 1955, even though he's an all-pro and, you know, one of the top 50 Pittsburgh Steelers players of all time, only made $1,500. So
no wonder he was responsible for the
So my relationship with Arnold
Union
Palmer goes way back to
when you were a pup.
Birth.
Exactly. But you know, they talked about who had the conversation the other day that we're talking about? I know who it was. It was Rocco Mediate. They were very close because they're from the same town, right? And Rocco was telling stories about how he mentored him and some of the things, the demands that he made of him. And he said, you know, put time into your autographs. Look guys in the face. Well, I tell you what, it's been a good show. From the Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse, typically, I'm Mike Rickard for John Rager, Bill Buttner, Ward Clayton, Adam Woodard, of course, Clemmie Perry, Joe Boudreau, and Matt on the controls. Thanks for listening to On the Tee Florida. And as always, God bless you. God bless America. Remember to keep it in the short grass and hit them straight.